and sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Good evening. This is Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Coming to you live from the Boogie Down Bronx.
Yes, we are bringing you another episode of The Brothers. And before we jump into today's topic, it's been a little bit since we recorded. Our last episode was a real insightful conversation with Big Nell.
Yep, very enlightening.
Definitely, definitely. Hopefully our listeners got a chance to check it out. Actually, it was our longest episode. You know, we had a lot of good stuff that Big Nell brought to the table. You had a lot of good points that you definitely reached out to him, and he shared his insights. And hopefully, you know, there's more conversation there, because a lot of times we think out of sight, out of mind, and that's not really what it is, because it's still someone else's problem, and we're still talking about people.
Yes, indeed.
So for our listeners, today's topic and episode is entitled Rewriting the Rules. And title actually came about because I was listening to another podcast, because yes, you know, podcasters listen to other podcasts sometimes. And someone made a statement about that. And I think what stood out for me was that a lot of times, you know, we're used to doing things a certain way, and that becomes the way. And sometimes people, either through ignorance, through ignorance or just a disregard for the rules, just do it a whole different way. They just make it up as they go along. They rewrite the rules. They change things. And it actually works. And I know there's pluses and minuses to it. I think I tend to see it as a minus. But this person put it as a plus. And so just starting out right there, what is your thoughts on rewriting the rules?
I think sometimes it can be good. When you say rewriting the rules, the first thing that came to mind was people that do the so-called new math. And all of us older people that were used to doing old math or math a certain way will see it as, what's this guy doing? You don't do it that way. You don't go from right to left, or, you know, we go left to right, and, you know, maybe there's a better way of doing it. A lot of times, though, we are locked in our own minds, stuck in what we were taught, and that's the only way that it should go, as opposed to something new and maybe even better can be taught to you by somebody younger or thinking differently.
That's very true, and it's very interesting that you jumped right to math, because that was something I was thinking about earlier, you know, before we, you know, got to record the topic or got to get into it, just thinking about the concept of it, writing the rules. And before I even touched the math part of it, just thinking back to English, right? Almost all modern language are based on the phonetic alphabet, right? The sounding of the phonetic alphabet, the principles of the phonetic alphabet. And most people that are good at pronouncing words and saying people's names, even across languages, they sound it out. That very simple rule still works after thousands of years. And I'm an advocate of it because I'm actually very good at it. I pronounce names, very difficult spelled names for people from Russia, people from many different African countries. And the first thing that always surprises is that, wow, like you said it exactly right. And in my mind, all I did was sound it out. I literally took the very basic tool that we were taught when we were learning to read and write, and that's all I do. But sometimes the most complicated words are easily broken down when you do that. So to the point of me bringing it up is that rewriting the rules, like you said, if the rules work, they work for thousands of years, they work really well, why would you think to rewrite them? You know, and then bringing it back to math, now, like you said, with new math, because I don't know much about new math. And I'll be honest, I wasn't great at old math either. So what, as someone who was good at math, what is your take on old math compared to new math as far as rewriting the rules? Like, does it make sense? Yeah, what is your take on it?
See, I was, as a math person, when I was in school, I was only concerned with getting the right answer. I didn't really care about the methodology, whether it was right or wrong. And I had a lot of teachers that would give you more credit for the process than the actual answer. They want you to do it their way and write it all out. And if you did it that way, even if you got the wrong answer, they could see where your mind, I guess, was going. So they would give you credit. you know, I know what new math, and again, I don't understand new math. I don't know it, but I know that you'll get the right answer. And what was funny is that we had a lot of classmates that come from another kind of part of the world, and they were taught differently, and they would be getting all the answers right, but they couldn't explain it to the professor or the teacher how they were getting it. And the teacher didn't want to give them credit, even though they were getting their correct answers and they knew what they were doing. So sometimes someone doesn't understand your methodology or what you're doing, they want to discount it and say that you don't really understand. You're just making up stuff, even though obviously you're getting the right answer every time.
That's a really good point. I mean, that's a really good point because I've experienced that too. I know some people have gone through that as well. So when I say experience, I mean, I've seen people go through similar situations. So that makes me wonder, going back to you, are you on the side of the rules the way they are as far as old math and as far as the traditional procedures and processes? Are you actually more open to rewriting the rules because it's just getting whatever the answer is? Because to you, before you answer now, just because someone learned in a different country and they learned a different process, right, the rule structure may be the same or similar to the current structure, just they don't recognize it. So what I'm saying is, I don't know if that's an example of rewriting the rules or just the rules being broader than everyone understands, right? Or certain people understand. So what is your take on it? I get where you come from, just getting the answers, all that matters, because I'm with you on that, right? It's really about the end result. But do you think that the process is irrelevant to the end result, or the process leads to the end result?
Good question. I think if you could understand the methodology, whether it be new or old, then that's a key thing where the person actually has steps that they're taking to get to where they get to the result, as opposed to we don't really know what you're doing and it's not duplicatable. Because again, anything that you want to have, you want to be able to teach other people. So if I'm doing something that I can't show you and teach you and you can use yourself, it's really loose useless to you.
Right.
So I think you want to have steps of it. It's something where it takes some innate ability and it's not a process where it can be duplicated, then it's not really useful to the masses.
Right. No, I agree. And thank you for that, Big Loop. You've actually kind of articulated what I was probably trying to put out there, that there's a difference between rewriting the rules and having no rules, right? And let's say somebody puts numbers on a page and your brain is like Good Will Hunting and you're just able to put the answer down. That's it, right? Because you're right. What he did was not replicable, right? He just had a unique brain where he could just process things, which is very different than say, I have a different way of doing it, right? So I'm rewriting the rules, or, you know, I'm just doing it different than you, but I can show you how to do it as well. So I think there's a difference between rewriting the rules, the rules traditionally, and then no rules, where maybe somehow you're able to do something, but it's really chaos that happens to work, as opposed to there's an order to what you did.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet, and me, I'm the last MC still standing.
I agree with that.
Okay. So let's move chaos out the way. This conversation is not about chaos. So let's get rid of Good Will Hunting. He can do math. No one else can do. Great movie. Loved it. Going back to rewriting the rules, and I think math is a good example of it. Again, I know when I was taking a class in undergrad, it was a very non-traditional class, which is funny. It wasn't your algebra. It wasn't your geometry, anything like that. It was more about the history of math, right? So it's one of those simple classes for people that aren't math experts, to be honest with you. But the funny thing is that it was very profound, because what it did is it shows you different math systems, again, different concepts, different rules, and it showed you how they pertain to different parts of different cultures throughout history. So you had base two, which if anybody knows base two, that's how computers work. So it's funny, the simplest math formula or rule system that we have is actually involved for transforming the world, right? Because computers only understand one language, and that's binary, which is 0, 1, base two. Then there was base, I'm not going to start calling out a bunch of bases that I don't remember, but I know there was base 20 and base 60. I think base 60 was Babylonian, whatever. meaning that they only counted in 60s. So 60, 120, and so on. And the thing that was really enlightening about that was it might not make sense to us because it's a different rule system, but it made sense to them. And even when people say they can't figure out how the Egyptians built the pyramids, it could be because they use a different kind of math that we just never encountered.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Right. And I say that again because today's episode of Rewriting the Rules is, as you stated, you have to first know what the rules are before you can consider rewriting them. Or you have to have some basic understanding of the rules, I should say. Right. And like you said, some teachers say, well, if you can't do math the way I do it, then you can't do math. And that's not necessarily true. But like you said, some people can maybe get the answers, but they can't explain how they get the answers, in which case, how valid is your formula on a grander scale outside of you as a person? So rules, like you said, is kind of something that's observable by other people, so on and so forth. So I'm just saying, where do you stand again on rewriting the rules? Like, just to bring it back for our listeners to a real simple concept. If we're doing something, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Is that where you stand? Or is it more if there's a better way of doing something, possibly, it may be radically different, why not try it? So either if it's not broke, don't fix it, or maybe we could do something brand new.
I usually, or at least in my mind, I err on the side of there's something new, let's try it. If it's giving results, maybe it's going to give us better results than what we have, you know, because we know what the old way is giving us and what the old way is going to produce. So maybe we can produce something that's even greater.
Good to know, Big Root. That's actually really insightful. I don't even know if I asked myself that question where I lean on it, because I do believe in trying new things to a certain point and being creative, but I still think a lot of it is rooted in understanding the traditional concepts. So I think for me, it's knowing how something works, and then you could change it. Or you may change it. Not saying you can or you should, but I think I'm more of a traditionalist and just understanding the traditional concept as opposed to just making it on my own. Except with words. I make up my own words all the time, so.
Yeah, and I guess what I'm saying is, all right, say you have a person that is, you know, say you're a pitcher and you used to, everybody throws the ball the same way and these are the same basic pitches, and you come with some pitch that no one's ever done before, but it's effective for you. Then I don't see a problem in trying to create something that's new that's going to give you the advantage over other people. If only, maybe only you can do it, or you can teach it to other people on your staff, but I don't see nothing wrong with that. Whereas, oh, you only can throw the four pitches that we know about. Everything else is off the table.
No, that's a very good way of looking at it. That's a very good way of looking at it. And I think after this episode, I'm going to have to give some more thought to it, because I think there are examples of rewriting the rules that we're not fully aware of. Because that's a really good example. If you come with a new pitch, no one can hit it, why not use it? Right? It might make you millions of dollars and a legend. So, I mean, that's true. Going back to the episode, or rather the podcast I was listening to, I think the reference of changing the rules was that when you go, let's just go to Naomi Osaka, who's been in the news recently, and not for her tennis playing. She's actually been the rules for not playing tennis, mm-hmm. right? And anyone who's familiar with her will just understand her situation, that she was in an uncomfortable situation, the French Open, basically dropped out of it because she you know, was felt uncomfortable and expressed that she felt uncomfortable. She was given an ultimatum, and then she made a decision basically to just do what was best for herself and her mental health needs and to take a break from tennis. And that stirred up so much emotion from so many different angles, right? It's her job to do interviews. She's an athlete. She's a celebrity. There's a mandate and all of these things. And I guess the two podcasters were saying how commendable she was for actually rewriting the rules. That, no, you know, I'm an athlete, but I'm going to dictate the terms in which I engage with the public. They're not going to be dictated to me. And I think that's what really got me thinking that, you know, maybe it is okay just to change the rules and not do what's expected.
Yep, and I totally understand the situation. As someone that normally is introverted and doesn't want to talk publicly. However, number one, she also just recently just not going to play Wimbledon, she said today or yesterday. So she's not going to play in the next tournament. I think personally, in the older days, how you would have handled the situation would have been you get a coach or someone that's going to help you to answer the questions or be better socially as far as dealing with the media and answering questions, you know, on a public forum. And I understand her job is a tennis pro, so she's used to getting a coach to show her how to hit the ball and certain plays and whatever they, you know, do to become better at tennis. But I think in the past, you know, especially I've seen it with a lot of team sports players, you're supposed to be also a leader. Now, I know that as tennis, you're an individual, so you're not leading anybody, you're not leading a team. So you're not representing the organization. You just represent yourself. So if you don't want to speak, you don't want to speak. But I do think everybody has different situations of how they would handle it. I do agree that if it's going to really damage your mental health, you're doing the right thing. You take a step back and, you know, you don't want to do something that's going to be damaging to yourself or, you know, might push you over the edge or have you using, you know, things that you don't want to use to cope. But you also might want to try to become better or the thing that you find to be uncomfortable.
No, I get that point. And again, being a traditionalist, that's probably where I would have leaned too. But I think the point these two podcasters are putting out is that she actually made a conscious choice to basically rewrite the rules, basically say, these are now the rules of engagement, to use a previous episode we did about the police changing the rules of engagement or following the rules of engagement in that case. She basically is changing, to some extent, the rules of engagement. And I think that those of us, and again, I'm speaking more from the point of view of the podcasters, right, may say, why doesn't she just do what she's supposed to do and find a way to deal with it, right? Like, that's expected of her. And part of her may be saying, no, I'm going to deal with it differently, meaning it's going to be differently. I'm going to communicate in the ways and forms that I want to do. And I think that's what drew me to this episode as it drew them to that same topic of rewriting the rules. I'm not doing it the same way. I am doing it differently. And it is going to be shocking and a shock to the system, but that's a part, that's the goal, right? I'm shocking the system. And I guess what I'm saying in a bigger sense, is that a positive thing? Sometimes does the system need to be shocked?
Tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit should sing along. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Yeah, and I think it can be a positive thing for those that have challenges socially and or get, you know, anxiety from talking to the media and talking to the public. However, I think because she's the first one that's doing it and she's the one causing the shock, she may reap the least amount of benefits of everybody who's going to go down this path.
True, which is usually true of all change agents, right? Jackie Robinson got a fraction of what most of the players behind him got, but he's Jackie Robinson because he helped to change the game. He helped to rewrite the rules. So I think to that point right there, there is a certain value of rewriting the rules, although the person doing it may not be the biggest beneficiary of it, right? And again, this episode is not about Naomi Osaka or anything like that. It's really about the concept of changing the rules, rewriting the rules. Because I think most of us who are grounded in a certain level of pragmatism, right, believe that rules matter. We can look at our current political situation now, right, if we're going to bring it to that area, where we have a segment of the population that is trying to throw the rules away, right, or ignore the rules. And somebody might say they're trying to rewrite the rules, right? And we can say whether it's good or bad. I don't think that's the case. I think literally they're ignoring the rules. The rules are not broken. The rules are there for a reason. And I think that's a really good way to kind of address it. At what point should we rewrite the rules in this case, right? I mean, we have an election. We had an election. It was, by every measurable account, the most fair election in history. The outcome was not what certain people wanted. and they basically just said the rules don't work or the rules were broken without any evidence or substance or real mandate, just the fact they're not happy with it. So that's an example of them looking to rewrite the rules because they don't like it. So I think getting away from Naomi Osaka and personal vindications, right? What should our conceptual view of rewriting the rules be? Like, at what point should we say this is not working and we should try something new? Or worse, this is working and we should try something new. When I say worse, maybe I should have said it. But that's my point. It's not broken. Why are we trying to fix it? Or it's really broken and we have to fix it. I guess that's the concept I'm trying to get through. Like, when does rewriting the rules become beneficial?
Well, I think number one, we have to look at the person's integrity and their intentions. If they come from a place of goodness and fairness, you could kind of say that they may be trying to do things differently, but they have the best intentions in mind. When you have somebody that's purposely going to say that everything that happens that doesn't go their way is fake and it's false and it's not counted properly, they have no real credibility. They're just trying to be the loudest voice in the room. And unfortunately, they're able to garner attention and get people to do things that they shouldn't really be doing.
Okay. So as far as today's topic, you're saying that intentions matter greatly when it comes to either maintain the rules or rewriting them. The goal, the intention of rewriting the rule.
Yeah. I mean, if you have integrity and you're doing something altruistic and it's just a different way of doing it, a different way of looking at it, then I think that's fine. It should be explored. If you're just purposely being contrary because it's not going to benefit, you know, the way that it is doesn't benefit you, and you just want to change it because it's going to make your life easier or help you to change the results of something, then maybe we have to make sure we look at it critically before we just jump and go in that new direction.
Well said. I think you gave a great sphere of understanding for it. And I think, you know, the word I took away from what you said was integrity and altruism. And I think you're right. I mean, okay, even if something's broken, the need to fix it is usually apparent, right? So I think that's an easier kind of transition. But if something is working, that's what I think a lot of people are like, hey, we've always done it this way. It's working. Why would we change it? But I think you just really kind of gave a good sphere of it. If the intention is to make it better, more equitable, more fair, if the person who's looking to bring about this change is a person of integrity or is coming from a genuine altruistic point of view or place, that those are good reasons to make changes or consider rewriting the rules. Whereas if someone is being self-centered or at a minimum is not showing how and why rules should be changed, then it should be criticized.
Yeah, I agree with that. Again, if you have someone that is, you know, in public office or trying to get into public office and they're trying to, you know, gain a consensus, obviously, but they're doing things underhandedly and without integrity, you know, that's not really what we want. I mean, not really an example you might want to use because it's in sports, but we'll talk about Mr. James, right? King James. He's doing things differently, but what's the goal of what he's trying to do? If he's trying to help the players to get a better share of the money between them and the owners, you know, we don't have to do it the old-fashioned way where only the GMs are going to make the teams and decide who gets what salaries. We're going to try to do some of these things on ourselves and make us more marketable. One can look at it and see, where is he coming from? Is it just only to get himself the most money and make himself get championships, or is it something that's good for the league in general? And that's, you know, something we have to wait and see. We have seen that it's been good for certain teams. It's been bad for certain teams. So we don't know if it's better than it used to be in the old days when only the GMs made the decisions, but it's a different way to go about it. But I don't think he's coming from it from a situation where he's trying to hurt the sport.
Okay, but how do we know that? Because like you said, I mean, that's a really good example. And again, if you're the beneficiary of what he's trying to do, that it's great, it's wonderful. And if you're on the negative side of what he's trying to do, then it's horrible. So to your point of saying, just wait and see, at what point do you wait and see? Like, you know, what should be the measurement of that, right? Because you gave some good points, right? If someone has integrity, if someone's intentions are good, right? And if someone is altruistic, how do we know those things? Like, and I mean beforehand, because the thing is, we can just wreck the system or rewrite the rules or change everything, have a revolution, right? And then we don't know if it's worked until afterwards. So what are the indicators that this is the right steps to take, or we believe they are? Again, going back to King James, what is his level of integrity as far as the sport as a whole, not himself? What are his intentions for the sport as a whole instead of just himself? And how do we know he's being altruistic? Like, how do we measure these things?
It's a good question, which is why he has a lot of critics. I would say, as far as what he's trying to do, it seems that he's trying to, and again, this is the league, the Players Association as well, they're always obviously in negotiations to get the best deal for the players. So does everything he does, is it affecting just the top-level players, or is it affecting even the lowest player in the league? Is he getting more money? And so far you can say that it's helped all the players to get more money, not just the top players. But I haven't really studied that. I was just using an example of things you would want to investigate to see if the change in the system is better. I haven't done a deep dive into whether it's a better way that's going now than it was before.
And that's fine, because we're simply giving examples for our listeners to, this was more of an abstract concept. And like I said, the podcast I listened to, they were specifically talking about Naomi Osaka. So their conversation was much easier than ours, because they were literally talking about her situation and the critiques on both sides, and what a critique and support of her for doing something that was good for her, but that actually may have a bigger ripple effect. I then took the conversation, of course, I had to make it complicated, and wanted to extrapolate just rewriting the rules in general. Because, again, there's times when something is broken and you have to fix it. But there's times when things aren't broken, but you still have change agents who will fix it or improve it or change it. And I think that's why, you know, that's where the conversation came from. And I think you've been given some really good concrete points, right? And that's why I think the King James one is a great point, because he's basically a general manager player. And he's taking two very distinct roles here. We might say he's not. Almost everyone who supports and criticizes him says that. He is a leader. And he does function in a lot of ways as a general manager. And is that good or bad? And I think that really is the heart of the conversation today, right? If you're a traditionalist and you believe that the rules are the rules and the way things are the way they are, you look at him as being bad, right? Or just trying to break the system. If you're a younger, up-and-comer, wanting to do things differently, you look at him as being good, right? He's actually making things better for different people. And I think that's the concept of rewriting the rules, when and how. And again, the points you made about someone having integrity, someone doing it for the right reasons, I think that is the drive that we need to see. Like you said, we don't have these measurements yet because this is a new concept.
What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.
I agree with that. Let me ask you a question. How do you take the Naomi situation? Do you think that what she's doing is going to be harmful to the sport, or is just going to be helpful to her in her situation?
It's funny you said that and the way you asked it. I think it does have the potential to be harmful, not to the sport, but to the ancillary parts of the sport, because there is a media system embedded. And because of social media, which is also mentioned podcast, Naomi Osaka has a huge following, where she can circumvent that system. So she can get her message out without ever doing a press conference. And she can influence advertising on a grand scale without ever going through the traditional media. So in that sense, that hurts the traditional media, right? She doesn't need them. And also she's doing what she needs to do for herself. So from that point, I'm like, she's kind of breaking the system. But, and this is what really kind of changes for me, that same podcast, they mentioned that for the most part, everything she did, Roger Federer did the very same thing for different reasons, but same thing. He played a couple matches and then he stopped because his knee, he wanted to rest his knee. And I think the feedback from the sponsors of the tournament was that, oh, I respect him too much to even question him. So you see where depending on who and why they decide to rewrite the rules, it's accepted. And when someone else does the same thing, depending on who it is and why, it's not accepted. So I think to your point, we asked you the question, I think it could be bad for the sport. Certainly good for her. I don't think whatever's good for someone's health is good for their health. And if it's not going to impact her financials, it might increase her financials, right? Fine, so be it. That doesn't mean it's not going to hurt the sport. So that would be my answer. Now, if you say, do I think it's good or bad? If you want me to try to answer that part of the question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I think it could be bad because I think if Naomi Osaka is pitted against the tennis association or whatever the body is, and she wins and they lose and she weakens it, I think that weakens the sport. It's the same way could LeBron James potentially undermine the NBA to the point where the NBA isn't the NBA anymore. The potential is there, right? I don't think that's the goal of Naomi Osaka. I don't think that's the goal of LeBron James. I think that is a potentiality of it. So that, and that, yeah, sorry.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm going to just ask you a question. Suppose she did what Marshawn Lynch did. I'm just here because I don't want to get fined. And this doesn't really answer any questions. This sits there and yes, no, next question, no comment. How do you think that would have went over?
I think that would hurt her personally because, one, that wasn't her truth. So, again, I do support her and live in her truth. I think that would hurt her brand as well because it would have made it seem like she was being real spiteful when she didn't really have a reason to be spiteful. But ultimately, I think it would have hurt the sport and her. That scenario would have hurt her as well. But I think it would have hurt the sport because I think the point is now, right, is basically almost in a reverse way of when LeBron James was told to shut up and dribble. I think Naomi Osaka is saying, I can just shut up and dribble, right? But it's not going to hurt me. And I'm doing it on my terms. So I'll talk when I want to talk, and I'll dribble when I want to dribble, and I'm doing it on my terms. And I think that that can hurt the sport. And I'm not saying, I guess the bigger question for me, yes, I think that can hurt the sport. Maybe so what, right? Maybe the tennis association is doomed. Maybe the NBA is doomed. I don't mean that in a negative way. Maybe these things are going to change. Maybe athletes are coming to a new level of impact where the sports association aren't going to matter as much. And I think that's what drove me to want us to do this episode today, rewriting the rules, because who said the NBA is supposed to be here for the next 300 years? Right? A lot of businesses come and go.
Well, that's true, but you made a very good point, and I was thinking about this as well. All right, so she doesn't want to speak publicly for her mental health. It's, you know, hurts her to have to go in front of the media and do whatever she has to do as far as answering questions. When is it going to be too much, though? I'm a student. Well, I don't want to have an oral exam. Just the way this class has been for the last 300 years. Well, I don't think I should have to do an oral exam. I just want to write a paper, and that should be all I have to do. Well, if you don't take this oral exam, you're going to fail, son. Is that, you know, how far can we push the envelope?
Exactly, Big Rook. And I think, again, that's why this was such a glaring topic, because rewriting the rules can go different ways, right? And to your point, why do I have to learn? Why am I being tested? Testing is not fair. Testing is an imposition of my ability to learn. It's an imposition on my ability to function, right? So there should be no tests. Tests are biased, which they are some sensitive bias. So instead of improving the test, I should get rid of testing. So I think the point is, to your point, right? And that's what I'm going to go back to what you said earlier. I think we need benchmarks either way, whether we keep rules or we rewrite them. We definitely need benchmarks. And I think the benchmarks you outlined are what we need. We need people with integrity. How do we find it? We have to define that quickly, so we know that someone is a trustworthy person. We need people with good intentions. We need to know their intentions are good, right? So in other words, let's just throw it back to politics real quick. Let's say there was evidence of great fraud, right, in the last election. Okay, then maybe we should have that conversation, what democracy means and things of that nature, right? The point in that case is there is no evidence of fraud. And you're trying to manufacture evidence of fraud, which means you have no integrity, you're not trustworthy, you're not worried about the greater good, you're not altruistic. All the benchmarks you said fail on every one of them, right? And that's why they're actually doing things to try to make it harder to vote, to restrict people's rights, and basically to undo democracy. So based on the benchmarks you said, they fail every single one of them. Every one of them, right? Now, again, if there was evidence, if there was not doctored, but real videos of people doing things unhandily, votes being thrown out, things of that nature, right? Then we would have a fundamental different question to ask, right? Do we believe in democracy even if we don't like the person that's been elected? Yes, I'm talking about President Trump, number 45. Yes, because we don't like you. I said on the podcast, it is what it is. But let's say he was right, that there was fraud. Then we would have a real central question. Do we accept the fraud to get rid of him, or do we stand up for democracy even despite him, right? And vice versa, though, and this goes back to the people that like him. Even though you like him, you might not like Joe Biden. There's no legitimate evidence of fraud. There is consistent evidence of trying to minimize the right to vote. And if you believe in democracy, if you believe in fairness and equity, you should be on the other side. Not because you like the person who wanted it to win, but because you believe in the concept. So I'm going back to the benchmarks you said as far as writing the rules. Integrity matters. Intentions matter. Altruism matters. And the greater good should be our goal.
I agree. I agree 100%. And when you're making your points, you maybe think of something. What President 45 did to me is like, let's say two persons are going for valedictorian. They're both trying to be the top student. And student A knows that student A is going to win because student A did a better on the exam. But what student A decides to do is tell everybody that student B, he cheated. So now student B is put under all kind of scrutiny, and they're looking up and all kinds of stuff. There's no proof. There's nothing ever done that this guy did anything wrong. But because student A went and on the record and said this guy was cheating, he's now, everything he's done has been questioned. And so he created the whole big storm to try to make himself into a better light, which is what we say is the opposite of having integrity.
Right. And again, going back to rewriting the rules for our listeners, that's the point, right? Again, what integrity is for us individually and more important collectively as a society, we have to figure that out. Like, that's the point. Like, is LeBron James doing the right thing? We have to figure out what the right thing is, right? That is for us to figure out. And then we can see if he's doing the right thing or not. Same thing with his intentions and altruism, right? So we need to do a really quick job in society in figuring out what our values are. As the current president said, the soul of this nation is on trial. The soul of the nation is at stake. Do we really care about doing the right thing? Or do we want to do what we've always done? Do we want to keep our head in the sands? That's what's really being called into question right now. Going back to Naomi Osaka, same thing. What is the right thing? Had she just went along and played, we wouldn't even have this conversation. So the reality is she rewrote the rules on her own terms. And now we as a society have to say, well, is she right? Is she wrong?
Sing along. Yeah. Rap is so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. It's like they took the art form. I'm tired of the same rap songs.
Should more of that happen? Should less of that happen? So I think the benchmarks you put out there for me actually were really good, and I'm going to kind of absorb them because I didn't really have any benchmarks with this episode. It really was a great topic and conversation, much bigger than any one podcast could cover, but it really was, when is it okay to rewrite the rules? Right? Because some people always rewrite the rules. I mean, Mark Zuckerberg rewrite the rules, and we can have another conversation about that another day about how dangerous that was. Facebook is very dangerous. People don't look at it that way, but it is, because it has a lot of power and it's not very well regulated. And it reaches a lot of people. And it's one of the reasons why we have 45 and the situations around 45. because people are getting information from unfiltered sources and just taking in whatever they want to take in. So that's another conversation, right? But to the point of rewriting the rules today, I think you outlined the pillars, right? Do the people, are the people involved having integrity? Do they have good intentions? And are they aiming for the greater good? So I think that for me personally, and hopefully for our listeners, are things to take away from this. Rewriting the rules, people need to at least have good reasons to do so.
Oh, everything you said, I totally agree with. And in the case of Naomi, she may have actually heard herself. Let's say in 15 years, she was trying to break the record that Serena's going after, and she's two grand slams short. And it's a two that she sat out that she probably could have won at her young, youthful age that she doesn't have time to get back when she's older. So she may be hurting herself in the long run as well. We don't know yet.
You're right. You're right. We don't know. So for our listeners, we always go to a call to action. And again, this is a really good topic, really hard topic. So, definitely good job with it. And again, I just heard the idea in a podcast and my mind went in another way with it. But call to action, rewriting the rules.
Well, my call to action is kind of a little bit what I was talking about, which is to investigate the new way of doing things, to investigate, is it something that's coming from good intentions? You know, do this a person who's trying to suggest a new way, do they have integrity? You know, are they altruistic? So I would say just doing your due diligence before you start to adopt something new, just to make sure it's credible.
Good answer. Good answer. Definitely a good follow up. Again, I thank you for this episode because a lot of the insight I think I needed, I took from the feedback I got from you from the ideas you put out there. So my call to action, again, to piggyback on what you said earlier, is leaning more towards altruism and basically the greater good. If we're rewriting the rules, is it going to be beneficial to the most people in the biggest way? I mean, maybe everyone's not going to benefit from it, right? Maybe everyone's not going to benefit from new math. But if new math is going to raise test scores, 30, 40% across the board, wow, that's a great win. If LeBron James is going to raise the salary range of NBA players across the board, which is not only going to help them, but it's going to help their families. It's going to have a ripple effect. Okay. It's not the way it was done before, but it benefits more people. I know there's a report that came out today about the wealth gap in America, the black-white wealth gap. And they actually said that if you got to a point of parity, it would actually explode the American economy in a positive way. Meaning, the debt that we said we can never get out of? Apparently, if you can get the black median income to equal the white median income, it would probably almost wipe out our debt. Trillions of dollars in value. Because again, it's almost the concept of money and just the multiple effect, right? So what happens a lot of time, a good example, not to get into the financial part of it, right? Let's just think of it this way. America would probably be a lot richer if they didn't burn down Black Wall Street. And you had Black Wall Street all over America, because now you'd have more of a tax base. You'd have more real estate, you'd have had more commerce, you'd have had more diversity, you would have generated more money. What happened was you suppress value by destroying Black Wall Street. Yeah, some people try to steal some of the value for themselves. But again, that's the point. You're basically growing by diminishing, right? And I guess what they're saying is that's what we've done collectively. We've diminished so much that we're not nearly as rich as we should be. Whereas if we actually invested money in all the different underserved and undervalued places and brought up that value, we would gain greater value collectively.
All right, I totally understand. So America suffers from self-destructive behavior.
Bam, bingo, exactly. Exactly. So literally, you want to fix the American finances, be fair and do right by Black people, literally. That's not my words. That was a report that came out today. I watched it, I believe, on CNBC. But it's actually saying that, no, there's a study that by suppressing their income and earning potential, you're holding down the country. So greater good. If we rewrite the rules for the greater good. I think that is, that should be the goal, and that should be, to your point, the reason to try something new.
Oh, that's great food for thought. And I think hopefully our listeners will tune in and listen and share this information with their friends and really have a discussion about these topics.
Same here. And I just want to say thank you for your insight, because again, I think you took a large mucky idea for this episode and you gave it a lot of structure. And I think it was definitely something that I was drawn to. And I think that I got a lot from it during the conversation. So.
Oh, me as well.
Good. And hopefully our listeners did as well.
That's always the goal of the brothers.
Absolutely. So today's episode, Rewriting the Rules. I'm Sean P.
I'm Big Root.
And we are the brothers.
Peace out.
I'm tired of the same rap songs. Every new hit, sing along. Rappers so boring, now correct me if I'm wrong. It's like they took the art out the art form. What's going on, man? I don't understand it. I want something good to listen to. I demand it. All the real artists on another planet. And me, I'm the last MC still standing.